It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Hopefully your weekend went well. It is cold out there. Going to be super duper duper frigid tomorrow night. So, all right, we've got our phone lines open. You want to give me a call, 946-0435. Anything that's on your mind in the world of sports. We got the NFL playoffs to recap. National championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame tonight. All right, here's where I want to start. I don't want to offend anybody by what I'm about to say. And, you know, that's always a very interesting way to start it. I don't mean to offend anybody. I will just say this. I am speaking to you 100% specifically from a sports standpoint when I say what I'm about to say. All right. So if you want to be offended, if you're a kind of person that you're just looking to be offended by something, then you might get offended by what I'm about to say. I have no ulterior motive here. I am talking to you about sports. All right, so how's that for a buildup? What am I going to say? I don't get the Notre Dame love in this country. I don't get it. Notre Dame does nothing for me in any way, shape, or form. Never has. Never will. I don't care about Notre Dame. I have never understood the gigantic allure of Notre Dame. Now let me backtrack to what I said 30 seconds ago before you get all offended. Say, you're just some kind of damn fool. I'm talking about sports, man. I'm talking about sports. I look at life in sports terms. I'm not looking at life from, you know, religious backgrounds and cultures and all these things. I'm talking to you about sports. And for me, as a sports fan, I have never given one iota about Notre Dame. Not a single nothing. Never. It's never. Notre Dame has never, ever, ever been in any way. I don't like the movie Rudy. No, I'm not being anti-Catholic. I just don't like it. I think it's an overly sappy, ridiculous movie that's quite false in a lot of ways about, if you look at the facts of the movie. So, I didn't follow Notre Dame growing up. I'm not Catholic, and I guess what I'm asking you is, if you're Catholic, are you just automatically drawn to Notre Dame? Is that a real thing? And look, we have a lot of Catholic people in this area. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm literally, truly not trying to offend anybody. I just want a reasonable dialogue. Like, if you grew up Catholic, are you just automatically a Notre Dame fan? Because Penn State's 40 minutes down the road. And so I know there are a lot of people in Pennsylvania, like especially the Scranton area, like Notre Dame versus Penn State. That was the biggest thing ever that happened to Scranton, because they got all these Penn State fans there, but they've got all this Catholic population that are Notre Dame fans. So if you grew up Catholic, is it just a given that you're going to follow Notre Dame? Because see, I don't view the world that way. I really, truly don't. I'm not a particularly religious person. I'm not getting to a lot of my beliefs or disbeliefs or anything like that on a sports radio show, but, you know, you do whatever you want with religion. Leave me out of it. Whatever religion you want to take part in, you leave me out of it, all right? You can do whatever you want. And if that gives you a little bit of background into maybe what I'm talking about, I view sports as sports. I grew up in Arkansas. I was a Syracuse basketball fan. They played Notre Dame a lot over the years. I didn't like or dislike Notre Dame. I respected Notre Dame's basketball, the way they played it. Digger Phelps, Mike Bray, Michael Shrewsbury is the head coach now, former Penn State coach. But Notre Dame football, quite frankly, for a lot of the time that I was growing up, I remember Jerry Faust was the head coach, obviously, when Lou Holtz took over. And I have a lot of background with Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz coached the University of Arkansas. I was living there at the time. A lot of people love Lou Holtz everywhere, and especially in Arkansas. So more people in Arkansas paid attention to Notre Dame when Lou Holtz was there, and he got them back on the map. But quite frankly, for a good bit of my life, Notre Dame has been either pretty high up or kind of pretty far down. And, you know, there's not really – they haven't won a national title since 88. So we're going on 36 years now. They have a chance tonight. But my question is, Notre Dame gets to do its own thing. This is the beef I have with Notre Dame. They get to do their own thing. They live under their own set of rules in college sports. So if I were to tell you I don't like Notre Dame, it's because they get treated so unbelievably special, very differently than anybody else. And, you know, tradition, history, all that stuff. But yet, you know, everybody else is in a conference. Everybody else has to live by the rules of college football. Notre Dame gets to do its own little thing. So maybe I've offended you already. I don't know. I literally do not. I don't think of religion when I'm watching sports ever. Not one time in the billions of minutes or millions of minutes that I've watched sports have I ever thought about religion. Not one time. So if you're Catholic and you love Notre Dame because that's your religion, I don't get that. I don't really understand. You know that I just don't get that component. All right, Jerry and Bellwood, what's going on? Did I offend you yet, buddy?
Jerry,
is that you, buddy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Jerry. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't hear you for some reason. I don't know if it's my phone or what the deal is. So.
I can hear you perfectly fine. You go ahead.
Well, the question I had, a couple of things. Did you use the word super duper cool temperatures?
Did I offend you by weather wording?
Is that a meteorological term?
Joe Murgo taught me that.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was a meteorological term. I'll tell you why I like Notre Dame. It's because they're not Ohio State as far as the game that's coming up. And I think that a lot of people do like Notre Dame for two reasons. One, I think, you know, if you're Catholic, I think even though there's other Catholic institutions, so you've got to couple that with the fact that Notre Dame used to win a lot. And you put that with the Catholic faith, if you're Catholic, which I'm not, I think you really like Notre Dame. I think the other thing is that Notre Dame used to have the reputation of Penn State did under Joe Paterno before the scandal and everything, is that they did things the right way. You know, they had kids that came there and played, and they didn't cheat, you know, as far as they didn't take basket weaving and, you know, that kind of stuff. Used to hear about other schools. So I think that's why Notre Dame's so popular.
Yeah. All good points. I'm not sure what's going on with the phone line, Jerry. Hopefully this is just an isolated thing. I'll get to the next caller in a sec. Those are all good points, especially Notre Dame's history of success. I was born in 1973. Notre Dame won the national title in 1973. I don't remember that. They won the national title in 1977. It means nothing. And then they won in 88. So they've had, in my lifetime, I didn't grow up. I'm 51 years old. I didn't grow up with Notre Dame being this gigantic, everybody's going to look up to them. I grew up, quite frankly, with Nebraska being that, Oklahoma being that, Penn State being that in the 80s. I didn't grow up with everybody just loving Notre Dame and thinking that Notre Dame was the greatest thing because, quite frankly, for a lot of my childhood, they weren't. I sat through the Jerry Faust years, and I don't remember Notre Dame really being all that relevant, you know, football-wise. But, again, I'm really not trying to offend anybody here when I say this, and this may sound offensive the way I'm wording it, but The notion of this is my religion, so I'm going to find a football team that goes to a school for my religion. That just seems weird to me. It seems odd to me. I just don't view the world that way. I don't really view the world with black people, white people, religion, whatever. I view sports. Sports are sports. I'm going to analyze if a yellow person or a green person or a red person or a maroon person or a white person is playing football, baseball, basketball. I'm going to analyze it the same way. And I'm going to pick a team that I like to watch because I'm entertained. You've heard me say many times before, I want to be entertained by my sports teams. A lot of times watching the Steelers, I don't really feel all that entertained by the style of football that they play. So, all right, we'll go back to the phone lines. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey, Nebraska man.
Nebraska man, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Very good. All right, go ahead, buddy. What's going on?
Well, I was born in 1950, so, you know, I went to Catholic school. But I never really followed Notre Dame that much in football because, first of all, they've always been independent. But, it is what it is. But my question to you is this. I am very, very disturbed about the 12-team playoff system. All these schools got to give certain amount. All these teams that made the playoffs got to give their conferences, so each team so much money. Here comes Notre Dame. They get $14 million, and they don't have to give a penny to nobody.
Right.
So I think the NCAA should make a rule that anybody, regardless of who it is, if they stick to 12 teams or they go to 16 teams, anybody gets any money, that money's got to be split. I just don't understand how Notre Dame can be in this playoff system making $14 million, keeping all $14 million to their school, when other schools got to give, they got to cut it up into chunks of pies and give it to other schools.
So far, Notre Dame has earned $20 million in the college football playoffs. They get to keep every cent of it. Everybody else who's in a conference, you have to split that money up between your conference. But Notre Dame does not have to do that. So this is why I wanted to kind of have this discussion. Look, if you love Notre Dame for whatever reason, football, Catholic, tradition, whatever reason, you know, Notre Dame is a great football program, one of the great historic football programs in this country. But my problem with Notre Dame is really exactly what you just said. Why do they get to be singled out? And every rule that happens in college football, they have to consider Notre Dame. Like as an individual, Notre Dame has so much power and influence that they can torpedo playoff scenario type deals if they don't feel like they're going to get a fair crack at making the field. Well, everybody else has got to play a tough conference schedule. Notre Dame can literally, I don't think this would happen. But literally, if Notre Dame wanted to play an entire – I would say Northern Illinois, but they lost to Northern Illinois. If Notre Dame wanted to play an entire schedule of Buffalo, Akron, Central Michigan – again, I can't even say Northern Illinois, they lost him – Toledo, those are a bunch of MAC schools. If Notre Dame just wanted to play a whole bunch of nobodies and go 12-0, They'd be in the playoff because they're Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has a path. Notre Dame has a path that nobody else is privy to because they're in conferences. And so I like what James Franklin said in the press conference before the Penn State-Notre Dame game. He said he thinks Notre Dame should be in a conference. Well, you know what? The Notre Dame people got pissed by that. The Notre Dame people, including their head coach Marcus Freeman, they got pissed by that. There's a feeling in the Notre Dame camp that James Franklin there's a lot of good discussion points here, folks, so everybody listens. There's a feeling among the Notre Dame people, whether this is real or not, perception is reality, that James Franklin little-brothered Marcus Freeman, that James Franklin acted like the big-shot big brother and little-brothered Marcus Freeman. Now, I don't think that happened. I don't think Penn State fans necessarily think that happened. But you know who kind of thinks that happened? Marcus Freeman. Because Notre Dame's players said he felt slighted by the way James Franklin kind of talked about the Notre Dame in the conference. So this is my whole point. You want to be out on an island. You want to be so completely isolated and singular, and you do your own thing, and nobody else's rules apply to you. And yet, somebody calls you out on it, and you get offended by it. You know, that's comical to me.
Corey, let me ask you this final question. Could the NCAA just say, for an example, could the NCAA go to Notre Dame and say, in order for you to be eligible to get in the playoff system, you have to play in a conference? Could the NCAA lay that down and make them do that?
No. Nope. Notre Dame has too much power. And again, we are treading on, and I'm very aware of this, we're treading on, this is offensive kind of territory. And I just simply don't view the world like what I'm about to say. I just look at it from sports standpoint. But the reality is there are a lot of Catholics out there with a lot of money and a lot of sway. And if the Notre Dame tried to, if the NCAA tried to stiff arm Notre Dame into something like that, there would be a gigantic major upheaval by Notre Dame fans.
All right, Corey, score tonight, Ohio State 28-17. Thank you for your time. You have a good day.
Good stuff. 28-17. I'll give my score here in a little bit. I am picking Ohio State big in the game. Dan, what's going on? Dan calls about BG a lot. I'm curious to hear Dan's thoughts on this.
Well, BG, you know, under no circumstance, Corey, have you offended me, or your points are well taken. But in my situation, my Catholic faith has a lot to do with it.
Okay, how come? How come? What? I mean, I didn't use my religion growing up. I was Southern Baptist growing up. I didn't start looking for colleges of Southern Baptist sports teams.
Now, when I was a kid, the priests usually say part of their homily in a joking way that they would be leaning towards Notre Dame.
Right.
See, and that was instilled in me because I was brought up a strict Catholic.
Well, I'm going to bring up another component, the opposite of that, that the rest of the world, I think, either gets offended or laughs at the notion that God is pulling for Notre Dame.
Oh, that's wrong.
Well, but you know, you see what I'm getting at. It's called It's called Touchdown Jesus, and you got certain religious factors saying, God's going to be on Notre Dame's side. God's going to help Notre Dame. Well, okay, there's hundreds of other schools out there. Maybe God can help them a little bit.
And it's good to hear Soxy again, too, and getting stronger. But anyways, and I was floored with Jerry, see, being a Notre Dame fan, and now he's openly criticized BG. See, openly, on the talk show and on the sports show. See, now, he laid low for, a better part of a year and never mentioned nothing like it. It's strictly talk, sports talk. But just not too long ago, this season, midway through the season, he did come out of his closet as far as BG, see. But he floored me because when he mentioned he's a Notre Dame fan. But again, Corey, you did not offend me whatsoever. All your points were good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Dan. I'm doing the best I can to not offend. If you're offended, my guess would be you're bringing religion into this. And that's what I'm asking you to try to. Look, I'm talking sports, man. I'm going to talk about Notre Dame football the same way I would Miami or USC or Arizona State or Penn State or Texas or anybody else. The religion component doesn't mean one iota to me, but yet Notre Dame is able to use that component to have a gigantic sway in the way college football operates. So if you're a Notre Dame fan, you love that you've got all that leverage. But if you're not a Notre Dame fan, I'm sure you realize that fans of basically everyone else in the country look at Notre Dame and think that they live on this privileged mountaintop, that they get to call all the shots that they want. And again, this does come into play. Haven't won a national title in 36 years. So it's not like Notre Dame is Alabama, won six national titles in the last 15, 18 years. It's not like Notre Dame is LSU even winning national titles. So from a sheer sports standpoint, I think it's pretty easy to say. It's common sense to say that Notre Dame has way more leverage than it should. All right, Clarkster, have I offended you?
Well, I don't know. But coming from somebody from the South, football is the religion, basically. You know, this is tangential here when we're talking about the school and everything. There's probably, I would bet, what percentage of the team at Notre Dame is Catholic? Probably minimal now.
Yeah, I would think so. That's probably true.
And as far as I can remember, Notre Dame always had a radio network. Just look at your own bank of stations.
Notre Dame will be on this station later tonight. It'll be on Hank FM 96.1.
So, I mean, I remember the Mutual Broadcasting Network. I mean, I can go back into the 50s. Notre Dame was broadcasting nationally. I mean, it's an old tradition thing. It's Northeastern effect in terms of, you know, where the recruitment was taking place and different things, you know. I don't know what to say. As far as Notre Dame giving up the money, why should they give up the money? I mean, now the Big Ten, what's the split? How many more teams do you want to have to split it up? You know, split up the money. I think Notre Dame earns it, Notre Dame keeps it.
Hey, look, there's no denying that Notre Dame has a very special place in all of sports. Look, there's no team comparable to Notre Dame in all of sports in this world as far as I can tell. Now, the one that, you know, the Dodgers kind of stick out because the Dodgers payroll, and it seems like over the past couple of years and then going forward, the Dodgers are just going to be able to buy their way into anything that they want. And so, yes, they're still part of Major League Baseball. There's no salary cap.
That's the direction all from the college level up.
Yeah, but it's not true. Not the way the Dodgers. The Dodgers.
No,
financially, but the Dodgers are Clark. It would be like Penn State spending $12 million, Ohio State spending $20 million, Texas is spending $140 million. That's the Dodgers here. That's what we're talking about, the Dodgers.
No, but I'm just saying on their own level, what we're moving towards is college sports turning to be junior professional sports.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying is Notre Dame is the only sports team on this entire planet that gets to do whatever it wants and really doesn't have to answer to any other group of like being part of. I mean, there are some other very small independent teams here and there that are not as successful. Notre Dame gets to do literally whatever it wants. It's its own entity, and I don't know that there's another entity like that on the whole planet.
Well, there are no independents anymore, is what it comes down to. They're the last independent team standing.
And so, look, what I'm getting at here, I've kind of danced around this a little bit. All right, I realize I'm in central Pennsylvania. Notre Dame is on this station. We got a lot of Catholic people that love. There are a lot of people in this country that absolutely hate Notre Dame. There are a lot of people in this country that completely loathe Notre Dame and think that Notre Dame is put on a pedestal that it has not earned. And so that's what's fascinating to me about the way Notre Dame is viewed in this country, because they, again, I brought up a case. You know, is there any other team in this world that people love because of their religion? Like, do Buddhists follow some certain team? Do Jewish people follow some certain team? Do evangelicals follow some certain? I mean, not really. Is there any other team in this world that can do anything that it wants as an independent and be in? Is so much financial control. Is there anybody? No. So it's fascinating that Notre Dame is so individual. And again, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you love that. Well, you love that individuality. If you're not a Notre Dame fan, quite frankly, that's why a lot of people can't stand Notre Dame.
Yeah, but they're a national version, maybe a little bit based on religion, that the state university school usually is, you know, And they're, you know, the state schools are a heck of a lot bigger, you know, than Notre Dame is. Notre Dame, I mean, historically, as I said, it goes back, you know, 70, 80 years. I mean, big-time games were talked about in the Yankee Stadium.
I get all that. I get all that. But Notre Dame's national relevance in my lifetime has just simply not been anywhere near the same. And I'm not saying that the world didn't exist before I was born. I get that. I get the history. I understand the tradition.
It's like the change in the number of Division I college basketball teams. Way back in the past, how many were there? Now there's close to 400. Things are evolving and going
and
to change.
Everybody else has been forced to evolve and change with it, and Notre Dame simply has not. I got a couple other people waiting on the line. I'll get to you after the break.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in three counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Howdy, the old farmer here. You know, from the almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 and Roaring Spring, McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Hank FM!
All right, here's my prediction for the game tonight. This has nothing to do with any loathing or hatred of Notre Dame. It has nothing to do with looking down on Notre Dame because they get to do whatever. It has nothing to do with anything in the world. If I thought Notre Dame had the better football team, I would pick Notre Dame, regardless of anything else in the world. I just don't think, I don't think this is even close. I got 30-16 Ohio State. Maybe it could be worse. The line's 9 points. That's a gigantic line for a national championship game. Notre Dame, I just don't think can keep up with a lot of things that Ohio State can do offensively and defensively. I got a lot of people calling in on this topic. I wasn't necessarily sure how people would take it because I've tried the very best that I could to not be offensive and to point out that I am talking about sports. I am talking about sports and sports alone. When I say that Notre Dame doesn't deserve to be on its own pedestal, it does not. Not from a sports standpoint. Not from a what have you done in the last 50 years of football sports standpoint. It does not. But yet, Notre Dame gets to call whatever shots that it wants. All right, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Tim, Corey.
What's up, Tim? How you doing?
Good, good. Hey, just because you're Catholic doesn't mean you're a Notre Dame fan. I realize a lot of people are like that. I'm a Catholic. I'm not a Notre Dame sports fan. But you kind of hit this with the last caller. I think Notre Dame football is kind of like the Yankees, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. They're America's team, but they're also the most hated team because of this advantage that they have. And, you know, going back, my dad said, you know, and he's in his 80s, they were always on TV. You know, so I think it built up that national following. Like the Clarkster said, they were on the radio, they were on TV, and that following has kept up. You know, I don't like the fact that they get to, you know, say we're going to be in the Big Ten for hockey and we're going to be semi. You know, we can play teams in the ACC for football so that they can round out their schedule. But, you know, their schedule is weak, and the only thing that can be done is hold it against them. But obviously they have a good team this year. But the one thing I want to say, back in 1987, and this has got a lot of play recently because of the really cold Maryland game at Penn State and also the SMU game, people were talking on the message boards about the coldest game they ever went to. But I was a junior. That 1987 game was freezing. And my friends and I, we made it to halftime. We got back to our apartment, watched the second half. At the end of the game, Notre Dame was down by one. I think they went for two and missed it. Penn State wins. And they interviewed Joe Paterno, and he's running off the field. He sort of says, I think some Catholics were praying for us. I'm going to have to YouTube that one again.
That's good.
Yeah.
Joe had a good say. I'm curious. I'm not trying to get too personal here, but I just want to ask, if you grew up Catholic, I'm sure you're around lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of Catholic people. What percentage of them are Notre Dame fans?
Well, I really don't know, but I will say, you know, I had a big group of friends that were Penn State fans, and we had a big group of friends that were Notre Dame fans. And, you know, as we got older and moved around, we'd get back to the area around Christmas or Thanksgiving, and we'd go to a bar, and we're all talking, and it was uneasy because we knew at any moment that fight was going to break out.
Yeah,
it
right.
always did, you know. But that's a good thing too, you know, to joke around with your buddies and really get into it. But so
good stuff.
Anyhow,
Jim.
Good topic.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I want to throw this out before I get to the next call. Just bear with me for 1 second. I've done numerous shows on this over the years. I did a series in the Altoona Mirror on this a number of years ago on how people become fans of their teams. I have always been very intrigued about how people become fans of their teams. If you're born near Pittsburgh and you're a Pittsburgh fan, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, it's easy to be a fan right there. So I love stories about, you know, I've told you guys before, I saw Pearl Washington hit a half-court shot for Syracuse when I was 10 years old, and it made me a Syracuse fan for the rest of my life. I know a guy that got a Washington Redskins football from the claw machine at Pizza Hut when he was 7 years old, and it made him a Redskins fan for the rest of his life. I know a guy who played Tecmo Bowl, and he would play as the Raiders, and he would play as Bo Jackson, and that made him a Raiders fan. And not only is he a Raiders fan, he's a Golden State Warriors fan and an Oakland A's fan. There are very peculiar and weird and crazy ways that you become a fan of a sports team. The number one way to become a fan of a team is you're a fan of the local team. Okay. I've just never, it's never been part of me or really, you know, I can't wrap my mind around how I'm going to be a fan of the school that has my religion. That just seems so odd to me. But again, I know everybody's got different, you know, you grew up, your parents are watching Notre Dame, your dad's watching Notre Dame, he makes you watch Notre Dame, you become a Notre Dame. I get it. I see how all that kind of stuff can happen. All right, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Andy from Altoona, Corey.
What's going on, Andy? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. My prediction for the game is Ohio State 22, Notre Dame 20. It's probably a lot closer than it's going to be. We'll have to wait and see. Corey, the only thing I don't like about the new expanded playoff is the best team is not always going to win the CFP National Championship. Okay, if Notre Dame wins tonight, were they the best team in the country the whole year? Were they consistent at all?
No. And that is true. You call a lot about the NCAA basketball tournament, and the NCAA basketball tournament is the same thing. They're not looking for the best team in college basketball. They're looking for a team that wins six consecutive games in the tournament. You get hot. You get one player who's scorching hot, like Danny Manning for Kansas in 88, or Glenn Rice for Michigan in 89, or Kemba Walker for UConn in 2011 or 12 or whatever. Sometimes you just get hot at the right time and you can win a tournament. I think the NFL and probably the NHL and the NBA, I think they find the best team. I think those leagues, yes, you can have upsets in the NFL. I think typically, and I'd have to look back over every Super Bowl winner, but I think the best team in the NFL finds a way to either get to the Super Bowl or go ahead and win the Super Bowl. I definitely think in the NBA, of all the sports, that the best team will win the title. But in college football now, the top four seeds all lost in the second round after having byes. So what does that tell you about, you know, who is the best team in the country or not?
Right, and I have a question for you. Are you still a Golden State Warriors fan?
I do like the Warriors. I don't watch the NBA as much anymore. When I worked at the Mirror every night till 12 or 1 o'clock, I watched a lot of West Coast basketball. Nowadays, Andy, I try to go to bed like 10:15, man, so I don't end up watching a lot of NBA.
Life, Geiger. What's going on with that?
I got kids, man. I got to get up with my kids at 6:30 in the morning and send them off to school.
Well, you might be getting a Golden State gift from me. I'll send it to the Mirror, and you can go pick it up.
All right, very good. Appreciate it, man. Thanks, Andy. 946-0435. You want to give a score prediction on the game tonight? I should have been asking everybody that as well. Mine is Ohio State 30-16. It's just a really good Ohio State team. I do think Ohio State is the best team in the country. I've felt all year long Ohio State was the best team in the country, and then they lose to Michigan in a crazy, wacko, bizarre rivalry game. But I think Ohio State is the best team in the country, and we'll prove it tonight. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey. My name's Al, and I'm calling from Altoona. Hey, I will say Ohio State by 14, but you just said something that really is hilarious.
Okay.
If you don't mind taking a step back, how people became fans of other teams. You talked about the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I am a Commanders fan. I have been a Redskins Commanders fan for about, I'd say, 8 years. I'm from Central Pennsylvania. I worked in Northern Virginia. I listened to some of the best talk radio in the country in that area. And even though they were an absolute trash fire, you know, burning barrel fire, I followed those Commanders, and this year, man, it paid off.
So do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I am 60 years old.
Oh, okay. So, and when did you become a Washington fan?
I would say my early to mid 50s.
Okay, so recently, who did you follow before then?
Steelers.
Okay, were you from here originally, and you moved there, or what?
I just traveled there a lot. I mean, their story was so interesting, and with Dan Snyder, and with the losing, and with the personnel, and with the coaches, and their fans are so funny. Every year, they are so optimistic, and it took about 4 or 5 games, and the season was over. And I mean, that was year in, year out. Even last year, they hoped. Their hope was so high for that quarterback. Now I forget his name. That played last year.
Pickett. Kenny Pickett.
What's that?
Kenny Pickett.
No, the guy from the Commanders last year.
Oh, for the Commanders. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Was it Heinicke?
No, Heinicke was 2 years ago.
Okay.
It was a guy from, I think he played for Texas or something. But, I mean, they really thought they put a team around him that he's going to succeed and be a great game manager. And that fell flat. And so, you know, when they got Jaden this year, you know, people were, you know, everybody was, you know, relatively, they were cautious because there's been so much disappointment for so many years, and they just came out and they've been playing so well with that, you know, that line they put together, and the running backs are coming on, and they don't have the greatest wide receivers, but they have a really good one. The tight ends are just okay. They traded away 2 good defensive linemen. But somehow they're in a championship game.
They are good. Jaden Daniels. I've only watched him a couple times. He is spectacular.
Yeah.
I love your story, though, because this is great. I have to ask you. So you're rooting for the Steelers or somebody else, and then in the middle, no offense here. I'm speaking the truth. In your 50s, you start rooting for a trash organization with one of the worst owners in the history of sports.
Yeah.
And you just switch allegiances in your 50s.
It was the culture of sports radio in D.C.
Okay.
I mean, nobody was winning. It was so entertaining. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Nationals won. Oh, you know, maybe we're not losers anymore. And, you know, so but every, you know, it doesn't matter what time of the year. They'll talk about the Nationals for a while. They'll talk about the Capitals for a while. It always went back to the Redskins and the Commanders. I mean, it just dominates Washington sports.
Well, here's why I love your story the most, because I've said this forever, especially with the Pirates, okay? If you're stuck in a bad marriage, like a horrendous marriage, she's abusing you or whatever, you get divorced, okay?
Right.
If you're stuck in a bad marriage with your sports team, so few people get divorced. There's usually never a second wedding, a second marriage with your sports team. Whatever team you started liking when you were a little kid, for whatever reason, you just you stick with that team forever. Even if that team is terrible, even if that team screws you over time and time again like the Pirates do, even if that team clearly doesn't care anywhere near as much as they used to like the Steelers, you stick with your team. You're a grown man, and in your 50s, you decided to hell with it. I'm getting divorced, and I'm going to marry Daniel Snyder's team, even though he's terrible. And you got married. You got married to the ugliest girl in your school. Not only was she the ugliest girl in your school, Alan.
The meanest girl too.
She's the meanest girl. Her dad would go kick your ass if you looked at him the wrong way, and then he would harass everybody around him. You got married to that girl, and now all of a sudden she's Miss America.
She's beautiful.
I love it. I love that story.
Guess who I met on Saturday?
Who?
J.R. Boswell.
Oh, J.M. Boswell. Did you go up there and get a cigar?
J.M. Boswell. I'm sorry. Yeah, he was great. He was a super guy. I mentioned that I listened to your show, and he was very gracious.
Awesome. That's great, man. Good stuff, Alan. Fantastic call. I love that.
Junior Motorsports, owned by Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his sister Kelly, are going Cup Series racing with their first ever attempt for next month's Daytona 500. And here he is, Dale Jr., and his thoughts.
For me, there's a lot of layers to this. Obviously, Junior Motorsports and myself and Kelly entering a cup car in any race is a big deal for us. This is also a bit of a continuation, at least for me personally, of celebrating Justin's championship, achieving a goal that, like you said, we've been after for a long time, and we've came so close, and we've had some really, really tough, heartbreaking moments, but it's really strengthened our bond and partnership. And so when we were starting to talk about doing this, I think me and Kelly both knew that we had to consider Justin as the driver. And as all of that played out toward the end of last year, it was a no-brainer that was what we needed to do. I want to let Kelly speak to this too, but because she's probably more aware of this than I am. With Traveler, we want them to have a great experience, and we know what Justin's capable of doing outside of the car as well as inside the car. And so we know that as a driver and through marketing engagement, that Justin will make sure this is a great experience for Traveler and Chris and his team.
Look for that Junior Motorsports 40 car driven by Justin Allgaier. This is the final lap.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hey, we got a J.M. Boswell mention in the last segment. We want to thank J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. They are our presenting sponsor each and every day on the program. Stop by, see J.M. Boswell, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Tell him that you hear us talking about him on the show all the time. I'm sure he'll like that. Alan did over the weekend. Again, 6481 William Penn Highway. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there's nothing like a Boswell's pipe. We've got the national championship game right here on 96.1 Hank FM later tonight with the Notre Dame broadcast. You want to call in and give me a score prediction, 946-0435. We'll take your predictions. Our last caller... That was amazing what that guy was talking about. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think we got our best call ever a few weeks ago from Jim in Altoona after Christmas when the Steelers lost to the Chiefs. He threw his remote box through his TV, his 52-inch TV that he said he had $6,000 invested in. That's the best call we've ever had. Jim said he had had like... was it 7 beers and 3 shots or 3 beers and 7 shots? I can't remember which one. Anyway, that was great. That's the best call we've ever had in 16 years on this show. Our last caller there, Alan, that was pretty that was pretty memorable, what he said. Just to recap. So, he was a Steelers fan. He moved down to the D.C. area, started listening to sports talk radio down there, and became a Washington Command. I guess they would have been still the Redskins, maybe the football team. I don't know how long ago. But in his 50s, now think about this. This is crazy talk. In his 50s, he divorced his favorite team, the Steelers, and got married to the Washington football team. One of the biggest jokes of an organization. Horrific owner in Daniel Snyder. And Allen saw something in them. Took the plunge. She wasn't the hot girl at the party. She wasn't a 9 or a 10. She's more like a 1. I don't know if she even had a number. I don't know if the Washington football team had a number on a scale of 1 to 10 at this time, at this point. But this guy in his 50s decides, hey, I'm just going to become a Washington football team fan. Here they are. NFC championship game. Crazy. I mean, that's a great story. Rookie quarterback. I do want to talk about Saquon Barkley in a second, but I want to finish this thought on the rookie, on the young quarterback scenario. So I've been kind of hoping that what the NFL has seen from the likes of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith would make the NFL pause and take a look at the quarterback development and what's expected from a young quarterback right off the bat and how many of them have failed and how drafting the wrong one can set your franchise back years like it has with the Steelers drafting Kenny Pickett. I've been hoping that the NFL would take a look at all of this and realize and say, we've got to have parameters in place where we're not just crushing these quarterbacks before we even know if they're any good or not. The league gave up on Sam Darnold long ago. Baker Mayfield. They chose Deshaun Watson. The Browns chose Deshaun Watson over Baker Mayfield. Gave Deshaun Watson one of the worst contracts in the history of American sports. $200+ million for a scumbag criminal who's been hurt basically ever since. Still collecting his money. Should be in prison. Just an awful human being. Oh, the Browns took that guy over Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield turned into a pretty damn good NFL quarterback. Sam Darnold, Vikings. Geno Smith up in Seattle. And yet, so my hope is the league would realize, hey, we got to figure this out and make sure we're not discarding these young quarterbacks. Then you got a guy like Jaden Daniels come in as a rookie and leads a team to the NFC Championship game. The Commanders are a good team. We saw when they played the Steelers earlier this year, they got a lot of good players. Steelers beat them, actually. It's crazy. But they got a lot of good players. And Jaden Daniels looks like a star. And my fear is because he's been able to do it, now these other teams are going to double down on, we got to get the right quarterback and we're only going to give him a very short period of time. Jaden Daniels got to the NFC Championship game as a rookie. You need to get to the NFC Championship game as a rookie or you're a failure. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the right way to do it. It's not the right way to go about it. So, but hey, there he is. One game away. Now he'll have to deal with Saquon Barkley and the Eagles. Saquon, superstar. I'll talk about it after the break.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Shop can't miss deals going on now during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. For a limited time, get a free adjustable stand when you buy a DeWalt 12-inch miter saw. That's a $229 value. Plus, save $680 on a Midea 4-piece kitchen appliance suite. Now just $1,796. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Valid 113 through 124. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. While supplies last, see store or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Well, good morning, kiddo. I love that you're home from college. I've missed you.
Still taking your Nature Made vitamins?
Every day. A multivitamin and a probiotic. You better be taking yours.
Still looking out for me, Mom.
I'll never stop.
Made to care for you every day. Nature Made, the number one pharmacist-recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Find us in the vitamin aisle. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Alrighty, so I'm kind of playing out the rest of the week here because I kind of think what might end up. I have a massive headache right now. I've had a cold for the last few days. Nathan and I were just talking about this the other day because he was losing his voice last week, and so typically what happens to me when I get a cold, and I've had one for the last 3 or 4 days, when I kind of get over the cold, I get a real bad cough for a couple days, and then I end up coughing about 1,000 times a day, and that cough ends up making me lose my voice. So if I had to predict, let's say Monday, it's supposed to be 0 degrees tonight, I think 0 degrees tomorrow night. If I had to predict, I might have to miss a show this week on like maybe Thursday or something if I just can't talk. So we'll see. You'll know, like, if you listen to our Leitner communication stations, I do the sports report every morning. I do that before I go to bed, like late at night around 10, 11 o'clock or whatever, get all the final scores in. So you can kind of listen tomorrow morning if you hear me. Well, it wouldn't be tomorrow. Say Wednesday or Thursday if you hear me on the sports report. And my voice sounds kind of, then you can pretty much guarantee I'm gonna have to miss a day of the show at some point. So that's kind of what I'm thinking is gonna end up happening. I always get these bad colds. All right, Saquon Barkley, 200 yards rushing yesterday, absolutely incredible. Eagles, wow, the Eagles are really good. They almost blew it at the end, but they came through, and now they're in the NFC Championship game against the Commanders. We'll talk more about the Eagles on the show this week. But Saquon Barkley, in terms of the players I've covered and been up close to personally, best football player I've ever seen up close. Have a good night, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.